Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a fantastic episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And I'm not even going to miss any words. I just have a quick thing to say, then I'm going to give my co-host the floor. Micah Parsons got traded, and all I have to say is I called the exact trade package. You can ask our friend Jamal Baker, prawn at JDB9 on Instagram, I believe, Twitter also. He makes the outro and the intro for us. Love him to death. Shout out baby Ellie. Shout out Melanie, his wife. Love y'all too. I was on the phone with that man minutes before the trade got announced, and I called the exact trade package. My good friend and former coworker Ryan Bernardo, he can also verify that I called this exact trade package. I just had to say that. That's all I have to say. I will speak my piece after you say whatever you have to say. He's been surprisingly calm. I didn't even reach out to him when it happened. I just wanted to give him the day, and I just wanted to get his full, unfiltered, raw initial thoughts. Lando, the floor is yours. Micah Parsons, a Green Bay Packer. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm fine. I was wrong. I definitely did not see this
right,
coming.
Because
history would show that the deal would have gotten done eventually, and it was just all these back and forths were just negotiation tactics, and it turns out that relationship really did deteriorate much farther than anyone could have anticipated. But
right. Right.
To kind of explain how I even found out. So I got off work and I was asleep. And then.
Were you?
Yeah, my brother called me and I don't even remember what he said. He said, basically something probably along the lines of, man, I can't believe they.
It's over. It's over.
And I was like, oh, I kind of knew what happened, but I was like, oh, what do you mean? What happened? He was like, oh, you don't even know. And I was like, no, he was like, man, go to Twitter. And so I saw the news, and I don't know, maybe it's because I wasn't awake.
You were kind of out of it.
Yeah. I was just like, I was able to kind of sleep on it immediately.
Yes.
Cause I went back to sleep.
Right.
And to me, it's just, I'm past it. I'm ready to, I can honestly say the upcoming season was already trending to not being a successful one.
Right.
And to be completely honest, as much as I definitely acknowledge he's one of the best players in the NFL, I don't think that with or without Micah, the success that we have, I mean, like, how many games do you think that Micah
is going to win for you?
Single-handed.
Right, yeah, no, win. Exactly. So,
He definitely, I mean, maybe a game or two, he's definitely capable of that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just, at this point, I definitely do not support this trade. I want him on the team. At this point, just the worst part of it all was not only the trade package that you called, I don't think it was enough.
Yeah.
Trading him to the Packers of all teams was honestly almost worst case scenario.
Can I just say, like, real quick, isn't it kind of like ironically funny that they trade him to the last team y'all played and lost to in the playoffs?
That's exactly that. Not even the last. It's them and the 49ers are two. That's almost the just as close as trading him to a division rival as you could have possibly gotten. And that's what they did. It's almost, and like I said, the trade package, I don't think was enough. It was
two first and Kenny Clark.
I think that this whole situation kind of was emotion-based decision. The egos got struck in this thing. And so a lot of people just, both Jerry, Micah, David Mogeta, I think a lot of people's egos were hit, and that's what kind of deteriorated this relationship. I think that Jerry, in an attempt to kind of, I don't see what the goal was here. From even just
what, because, do you mean, like with the trade?
Yeah, because in Jerry, if you're in Jerry's position, you didn't have to do this. That there were so many other odds,
right? Because you
where you could have came out on top,
right? Because you were under the thought. I mean, you were under the impression that, I mean, you literally said like Michael Parsons would have to sit out before getting traded.
Exactly, and even that, like, it's like the I'm not even as mad as the decision in itself. It's just the outcome of it. We got the short end of the stick kind of in every possible way when we were in position to at least break even, if not come out on top, whichever way the...
In your mind, what package would make you come out on top?
I need more...
Mid-round picks?
Not mid-round picks, more players. I think they should have been at least two starters.
You know what I asked myself yesterday? Sorry, I'm not just, because I'm just thinking out loud now. You know what I thought too? I was like, you know, because when the trade first dropped, right? You know, Adam Schefter said like a frontline player, and I'm thinking to myself like, because you know, y'all's running game is still a huge question mark.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, would the Packers trade Josh Jacobs for Micah Parsons? I'm seriously asking myself that. I'm like, because in my head, I'm thinking, because, you know, you spoke about it tons of times on the show, you know, the interior D-tackle position is a huge thing for y'all, opposite of Osa, right? You need somebody in there too. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, like, yeah, getting Kenny Clark, that would make sense. I was like, but they need, I was like, maybe you try to go get Marshawn Lloyd. That's their young running back who they really like. And I'm like, I was like, would you give up a Josh Jacobs in a trade for Michael Parsons? I'm asking myself, would the Packers do that? Obviously, they didn't do it, but
right. No,
I'm with you. I thought it was going to be at least two to three players with, you know, two first rounders and at least a third and a fourth.
And then another problem with it being the Packers is not only were the Packers already a contender that you have to deal with, a contender you play in about a month,
right?
A contender that, like you said, has eliminated you. You make them not only better. So those first round picks, who's to say they're even... top round, who's the third, right? Even lottery.
Jerry's talking about we can get Pro Bowl players back.
I mean, maybe, but who's going to trade? Because even the rest of the league can see that whether they trade, even if they trade for them now,
right,
that the Packers most likely aren't going to have very high draft picks
right. In
these upcoming drafts, especially now.
Do we know what years they're in?
Is this 26 and
27? 27? Okay, yeah, dude,
that's, like I said, that's the worst part of it. The compensation we got from Michael Parsons, right, along with the team just in general. And I feel like when it comes to Jerry and his trades, I can't remember the last time he made a trade we just traded for George Pickens.
Right.
And that was the first time that we made a big splash trade. And I came on here almost shedding tears because it was
right. No, you were hyped.
But in terms of when we trade away players, it's like we let relationships and emotions get the best of us to where we just do anything and we come out on the short end of the stick again.
Yeah.
Like when you look back at the Amari Cooper trade, that relationship deteriorated, and that was all because of the vaccine and Amari Cooper going to Dallas Mavericks games, and that was a whole off the field situation.
Right.
And we ended up we traded a first round pick to get Amari Cooper.
Would you have been fifth?
We ended up getting basically a fifth because it was a Amari and a sixth for a fifth and a sixth.
Yeah, dude. So that's bad.
And I mean, obviously, we did get two firsts, but like,
what those picks are going to become.
I just don't think it was enough for one of the best players in the entire NFL.
Right.
But I mean, at this point, like I said, I'm over it. I'm ready. I was already, this season wasn't looking like it was going to produce too many wins. The entire season was kind of, I feel like was...
It's in flux. It's in flux.
Not as much in flux. It was just the dependent on... Our success was going to be solely dependent on whether or not our defense was ever going to be able to show up. I felt like our offense, we knew what we were going to get out of them. We were going to get a high passing offense. We were going to get a team that might not be able to run the ball, but I think it's right. still going to be able to put move the ball downfield and put up a lot of points.
Yeah.
But our defense is going to be our Achilles heel, whether that included Michael Parsons or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And at this point, we know that it won't. We know that it's even going to be even worse. So
yeah.
We're just at a position to, we have 4 first-round draft picks in the next 2 drafts. We have, I think this opened up to where we have the second most drafts, cap space in the NFL with like 40-something million. So, yeah. I mean, it's on the front office to...
The age-old question with Dallas is, what are you going to do with it, right?
Exactly. So... Now all we can do is move forward. We have, opening week is coming up.
Yep.
Michael Parsons hadn't been there all off season with the team, like he was there in body, but he wasn't actually there practicing and going through the motions. So
I mean they've been getting ready without him.
Right.
So I mean it is what it is. Life goes on. Have you watched, you probably haven't had a chance to, or maybe you have. Have you had a chance to watch the new documentary?
Oh, I'm not going to.
You're not
going
to watch it?
No.
Wow, really? I've been watching it, really?
Yeah, and that's actually, and it had nothing to do with the straight edge before it. I was...
Why are you not going to watch it?
The same reason I don't like talking about...
Jerry Jones?
And I don't...
He's still winning?
Yeah, I don't like to put extra money in and extra attention to things he wants to until he... Until he can get the current team some success, right. That I can see.
Right. Well, okay. I wasn't expecting that, but maybe I should have.
I have seen clips, and I know, some of the stories that are being told, but...
Well, it's just not even... I think just, the overarching theme is just, Jerry is Jerry, and Jerry has always been Jerry, and Jerry led y'all, he bought y'all, and helped steady the ship to get y'all those 3 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the same Jerry that has had y'all and left y'all in mediocre football, right, for the past 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't get one without the other. Obviously they highlight the whole Jimmy Johnson situation, and you mentioned emotion early. It was pride there too.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them couldn't admit that they needed each other, and that spiraled. They brought in Barry Switzer, and I will say I gained a lot of respect for Barry Switzer after watching this documentary. I gained a lot of respect. I didn't realize the amount of BS he had to deal with. Literally the way everybody talks about Barry Switzer, man. I mean, dude is somebody you definitely would love to play for. But I mean, yeah, man, I think the overarching theme is just Jerry being Jerry, man, for better or for worse, Jerry being Jerry. And you've known that for a long time. You've decided to live with it. Like, it is what it is. Like, I got to deal with him until I don't anymore, and it is what it is.
Right.
I think it's a really good watch. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even just as an Eagles fan, but I do think it's a really good watch. But I understand where you're coming from. But yeah, man, I mean, it's funny because when we first, when Michael first requested the trade, we talked about it on here and everything, and you were kind of it's the bluff, it's the fluff. They're going to get a contract done, whatever. And I was kind of with you, right? But as time waned, I don't know, dude. I just felt like Mike he didn't even look like he wanted to be there. Him laying on the trainer's table, whatever, did you see that clip of him, I guess when they were playing Atlanta in the preseason,
mm-hmm.
and the fan asked him, come to Atlanta, and did you see what Micah did?
No.
He literally did that as he's eating, he's just walking away, he's like, bro, tell him to call my agent, or whatever, so he just, his body language, he just looked like he didn't want to be there anymore. And, we've talked about this ad nauseum, right? The minute your star player does not want to be there anymore, it's a wrap. Whether you want to admit it or not, it's a wrap. And sure, you can play chicken and you can see where this road takes you, but all you're doing is hurting the football team or the basketball team or whatever, right? All you're doing is hurting the team. So I did think a divorce was looming. I did. In Green Bay, man, that was the name. That was the team that everybody brought up from the very beginning. Green Bay was reaching out, and I was like, are they really going to trade him to Green Bay? Because I was like, if they did, you'd have to get back, a couple of players and, a couple firsts and give me a third and a fourth, too. Because, the Micah Parsons trade is obviously compared to Khalil Mack when he got traded from the Raiders.
Right.
Right? So, because they were kind of the same situation. I will say, though, because I think it's absurd that Micah Parsons is making more money than Myles Garrett. But it's the name of the game, whatever. It's the market. It is what it is.
I mean, well, now that you brought that up, I will say that as mad as I am and as much as I'm sick of the way Jerry Jones does everything, as much as I think this is majority his fault,
yeah,
I think that at the end of the day, Michael Parsons, like you said, he didn't want to be here anymore.
Right.
Which I can't really agree with.
That he didn't want to be there?
I can't support that. Like, I think that he's being
childish.
He's being a crybaby. Like, it's Jerry being Jerry, but at the end of the day, what does that really mean? Your negotiation went on, but we know this is something he does, and we know the deal gets done. So if he still at the end of the day offers you a $40 million contract,
yeah,
and
I saw like one offer got leaked out. Do we know what the offer was?
The offer I saw was the $40 million, and the offer from Green Bay is like 40.
I think I saw it was like Jerry offered him like a 5-year, $200 million deal, something like that.
So like, yeah, it's 40.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and when Michael Parsons said out of his mouth, he didn't have to even get $40 million. He would take a. And then you turn around and take 47 from almost a division rival. I mean, it's hard for me as a fan to
feel for you or
to not feel to like
empathize with you.
To not feel like betrayed. Like you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You did all this. Oh, you want to be here. You want to be here. But at the end of the day, it's like the reasons you don't want to be here weren't that.
Well, I mean, because I'm sure you saw, like, you know, because when Micah requested a trade, like, things started getting leaked, right? People started talking about all these things. I'm sure you saw, apparently, Jerry, like, really had a lot of issues with the podcast. Like, a lot of issues. Apparently, other teammates would, like, come into the office and tell them, like, bro, like, y'all got to tell Micah to stop. Again, this is, I don't know what's true, what's not, right? This is just stuff that's coming out.
No, I feel like the players having a problem with it have every right to.
Right.
But I feel like Jerry, I've never really had a problem with it, but I could see why people would.
Right. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think it's kind of hypocritical for Jerry to have an issue with it just because Jerry is Jerry. Jerry wants to be the single voice of the Dallas Cowboys.
I could agree.
Right. So I think that part is hypocritical. But I mean, look, man, you know, maybe, you know, like people were talking about Micah's not the leader that y'all think he is. Like, you know, this is what's coming out, right? I don't know what's true, what's not true, but.
I mean, that's definitely something that's been
talked about before.
That's been a fact throughout his career that he hasn't been a leader in the locker room.
Right.
That this was going to be the first season with DeMarcus Lawrence going to the Seahawks that Michael Parsons was going to be that voice on the defense.
See if he could be.
Right.
Yeah.
And so far up until obviously the negotiations, the lack thereof negotiations kind of went on. It was seeming to, from what we saw, that he was stepping into that role, but
yeah,
obviously that was short-lived.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, okay, you know, I hear what you're saying, because it's kind of like, you know, when you think of Myles Garrett, right? Like, I'm not going to feel sorry for Myles Garrett if he doesn't sniff a championship ever. Like, because you say you want to leave Cleveland, you say you want to chase championships,
right?
And you re-up with them,
right?
Like, dude, you know you're not winning nothing in Cleveland anytime soon. Like, you're not. So many things would have to happen for Cleveland to even sniff an AFC championship game. Like, so many things. Like, Myles Garrett, like, to me, he just, like, kind of punted on the prime of his career. You know what I'm saying? So I don't feel sorry for him in that regard. Like, the minute you re-upped with him, because I, for a second, I thought, you know, Myles Garrett said this, he's done all this in Cleveland, like, okay, he's finally ready to move on. Like, it is what it is. He did all he could do in Cleveland. But as soon as the money came in, man, he was like, it's not about the money. But as soon as the money came in, what did you do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What did you sign on the dotted line? If you really about it, you would say, nah, I'm out. I know y'all can give me the most money. I'm sorry. Like, I'm still out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, no, I feel you in that regard. I guess with Mike, I mean,
I just don't think,
like, you don't respect it. Is that, I guess, respect him.
I mean, I hate him. He's he plays for the Green Bay Packers. He's Marco Murray going to the Eagles. Because I feel like.
Do you feel like this is worse?
No, it's all on par.
Okay.
It's just as equal. Unless he can come out and say, like,
he gotten traded to an AFC team, would you feel this way?
No. Okay. I wouldn't feel as much. I would feel.
But do we also know how much. Okay, like, because you know it's the NFL, right? They don't have. Like, that could have been the best offer Jerry got at the time. Like,
and that's what I was just about to say. I find it hard to believe that it was.
That it was the best offer?
Yeah. I just don't see a much worse team. Even if a team that's worse gives the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's a better package just because the picks have a better chance of being better.
Yeah. Did they say about any other teams that were in the mix?
I mean, since the rumors were just in Prague.
We saw Atlanta.
All I saw was basically like the Packers, and it was like crazy rumors that turned out to be more likely until it actually came true. So.
Right. I don't know. I wonder because here's the thing, you know, when you have a disgruntled star, right? Like, the trade value can really mess with that, right? Like, Jimmy Butler, bro. Like, we've seen it time and time again with Jimmy Butler, right? The minute Jimmy becomes disgruntled, he wants out. Okay, teams will start calling and offering you nickels on the dollar, right? Because it's like, we know he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And in the NFL, I'm sure it's a lot easier probably just because, like, you know, NBA, it's just different. You know, they really are player-driven. Like, NFL, they're trying to get to that. But, like, NBA truly is player-driven in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're probably not wrong. Like, it probably was not the best offer Jerry got. But maybe in Jerry's mind, it was the best offer. Which, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I honestly just don't really understand it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Because maybe I'm, this isn't how trades are looked at, but I feel like your trade partner being in your conference and your specific history should definitely have a role in your willingness to trade your best players to them.
No, I hear you.
Maybe that's just a fan's perspective.
No, I hear what you're saying. Here's my thought about it. Maybe Jerry traded him to Green Bay. Real talk, maybe he traded him because he doesn't fear Micah like that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I could see that, but I feel like to trade with somebody that falls into that category that I'm putting Green Bay in, it's like almost like you have to have, it's like, oh, well, I couldn't pass up that trade.
Yeah.
Right? Like the package, what you're getting in return has to be a no-brainer.
And, right.
Two firsts in Kenny Clark is not a no-brainer.
No, I hear you. I really think.
But I could honestly see that. And obviously, this is going to sound like Cope just to deal with the fact that he's gone.
I know what you're about to say. Go ahead, because I probably agree with you.
I mean, when you look at what he's done in the postseason, obviously. And
he has one career playoff sack.
And
one.
Our defense has been the main component. Dak Prescott has definitely had his struggles. Our offense as a whole has had his struggles.
Yes.
But almost year in, year out, it's been, I feel like our defense has been the main factor in our losses. I feel like the lack of the big splash plays that our defense has kind of built their success on in the most recent seasons kind of disappears in the playoffs.
Right.
I think in terms of, like you said, Michael Parsons has one career playoff sack, and Dak Prescott's career, I think they have probably maybe two interceptions from like the start of his career to now, and in the playoffs, like two, maybe three. I know it's less than four because Jaden Daniels' defense got him four in one game, and that's more than Dak has in his entire career.
No,
And that, I feel like Jerry is looking at that and
He's daring Micah to become a complete player, like come back and prove it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then not again. Like I said, I do blame Jerry for the relationship deteriorating, but yeah. In terms of the trade in itself, looking at it in a vacuum, at the end of the day, it wasn't about the relationship deteriorating. It wasn't about anything other than the money.
Yeah.
Because the contract Micah got, I don't think Jerry was going to offer him.
No, no way.
So at the end of the day, it came down to what Jerry was actually, because now that everything's come out, it's seeming like the timeline of the events were, like we said before, Micah and Jerry had that conversation,
yep.
Thinking that that was the
Jerry thinking
that was going to be the gentleman's agreement. That was the what Micah was going to sign for.
Right.
And then when I was actually kind of under the impression that when Micah was saying he wants to get his agent involved, I just kind of thought that was getting his agent involved to sign that deal that Jerry already offered.
Mm.
I wasn't really, according to Jerry now, I'm like, this isn't to take any side, but all I can do is take what is being told by the people.
Right.
And according to Jerry, that when he came back with his agent, they wanted to start negotiating where they ended
that. Yeah, at that number. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when you look at it, and if that's the truth, then I can understand why
Jerry may feel like they're negotiating in bad faith.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though at the end of the day, I would agree that, but I would agree that Jerry trying to negotiate without the agent in general is trying to negotiate in bad faith. But I still think that's why I think that I'm kind of disappointed in both sides for not being able to
compromise,
because it seems like both, like, while Jerry, yes, was trying to negotiate, he started thinking those negotiations without the agent.
Right.
Had Micah come with his agent to actually get something more similar to what they had already negotiated.
Right.
It would have had a better chance of getting done.
It's funny, like, you know, because I'm watching the documentary and everything, and, you know, they go through Emmitt's holdout and everything. Emmitt wanted to be the highest paid running back in the NFL. Like, that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't end up getting that. He got in the middle of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was, I think he was like the top four paid running back by the time he signed his contract for $13 million a year. But, you know, everybody has to have a middle ground, man. You know, I mean, either you have a middle ground or you're literally willing to say, all right, I'm done. I'm not playing for you anymore.
Yeah.
Trade me, whatever. Like, it's one or the other, right? Like, it's not. And I wonder, like you said, like, maybe Micah really, maybe was just truly all about the money before, you know, even him saying like, I don't got to be the highest paid edge player. You literally are now.
That.
Right.
Another thing he said when he, in his trade request, something I referenced to take his side was that he wanted to, when he said he wanted the deal done back at the end of last year,
right?
When his agent advised against him and
right.
told him to wait, and
right.
said, and he told his agent no, and it's like, well,
fast forward now,
yeah, it's like, which one is it? Did you tell the agent no or not? Because you hold the power. You can tell your agent no. Your agent can't force you to not sign a deal that's offered to you.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's sounding like,
I mean,
like you said, Micah did not want to be here.
Right.
He didn't, not
trying
only
to cover his tracks. And
not only, yeah, and like, not only did he not want to be here, he wanted
to be the highest paid non quarterback.
But that's, he still would have been.
If with the contract, he wouldn't have been, because TJ is making 41. If he would have got 40.
But that's I think he could have got more than 40,
maybe,
but he wasn't going to get 47.
Which Green Bay gladly said, fine, there you go. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you. Here's my take on Micah Parsons. I think he's a very, very good player at times. I don't think he's a complete player yet. You want to take Micah Parsons out of a football game, you run right at him and see what he does. So, you know, I think that's part of it for Jerry Jones. I really think he's saying, like, dude, I know you. Like, I know what type of player you are. Like, what I've seen, at least, right, from the past four seasons,
right.
I've seen it. I know who you are. You're going to go crazy. You're going to get 12-plus sacks. But come playoff time, you're not going to show up. That's what Jerry Jones is saying. And maybe he's right. Maybe he's wrong. Maybe Micah goes off to Green Bay and he blossoms and, you know, maybe he has a mess around and has like a Reggie White run. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, he's still super young, right? Still super young and has nothing but upside. So we'll see. But I mean, I hear you. So from what I'm hearing from you is essentially you're just disappointed in Jerry and Micah for not being able to come together and put pride aside and come together to have some middle ground. You're not even mad at the trade itself. You're mad at the conversation and Jerry Jones, I guess, lack of understanding of what the situation was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I feel like him trading him to Green Bay is like, all right, bro, like, what are you going to do? Like, I think Jerry Jones is daring him to like, all right, then come, like, come, we'll see you down the road. What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I we'll find out, man. I will say the NFC North just got a lot more interesting. It was already super tight, but now.
I mean, I think that this definitely puts the Packers ahead of the.
Oh, do you think they got that division now?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, they got the most continuity coming back, right? Matt LaFleur running it back, same coaching staff. You just added Micah Parsons.
Right.
You added Matthew Golden, might have found your number one receiver finally for Jordan Love. Yeah, I'm not mad at that. Detroit, we'll see. On paper, they got better, but you know, they lost Ben Johnson, they lost Aaron Glenn. So we'll really find out what Dan Campbell's made of this year.
And Jared Chicago. Goff, for sure.
You said what?
And Jared Goff as a
Right. Yes, exactly. Chicago, obviously Ben Johnson. We'll see. They were off to a rocky start in the early training camp, but they smooth things out. We'll see how that goes year one with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And Minnesota, they're the wild card, right? They got the team. They got the best receiver in football. They just have a quarterback who has not taken an NFL snap yet.
If I had to rank the division, I'd say it'd be the Packers, the Lions, Vikings, and then the Bears.
Oh, you don't see the Bears doing that good this season?
Not.
I think it's a super tight division. Yeah.
But I just think the Bears will have the, like, they'll still win 9-10 games, but they're of like last place in their division.
Yeah, let me think. Okay, I think I'll go Packers. You know what? I'm gonna go Packers, Vikings, Lions, and Bears. But I think the Lions and Bears are gonna be like fighting it out for that third playoff spot. Because I just like the Vikings defense is so good.
Yeah, that's
so good. I know they just traded away Harrison Phillips, which was kind of a puzzling move, but the Vikings defense is so good, dude. Like, so good. Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch for sure. Man, I guess let's go ahead and fast forward to next week, right? Week one, September 4th, Thursday, NFL kickoff.
Yep.
We play y'all. I'm excited. Obviously, I'm sure you're, I mean, would you say you're excited or are you kind of?
Definitely. I'm definitely excited for the season to start.
Right. Football's back. Football's back.
It's been a long off season.
Yes. Yes, it has. It's been a wild off season. So yeah, man, I'm excited for that. You know, we got a new offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo, but I mean, he's been in the building for like ever since Nick Sirianni's been there. So I'm not too worried about that. You know, like I've said many times throughout this off season, you know, we lost a couple key guys on defense, man. We lost a couple key guys on defense. That cornerback two position is still up for grabs. I think Adoree Jackson is set to start, but we'll see. Ja'Corian Bennett, he came in and made some plays after the trade. I kind of like what I've seen out of him. I love what I've seen out of Andrew Makuba, our rookie safety. Jahi Campbell's been kind of playing all over. I love that. I do wonder what's going to be the situation with him long-term with N'Kobe Dean coming back week 5. So we'll see how that goes. Nolan Smith, obviously, I'm predicting an all-pro season for him this year. Jalen Carter, obviously, one of, if not the best D tackles in football now. Jordan Davis, we picked up his 5th-year option. He's coming in the best shape of his life. Looking forward to watching him play. Moro Ojobo, he's been the talk of the camp. We just traded for John Metchie III. Excited to see what he can do. That wide receiver three spot is still. Jahan Dotson, he's got a shot to really solidify himself this year, but John Metchie, man, I've always believed in his talent. Dude has got a bad hand, right? He got drafted, gets leukemia, has to go through that, and then Houston just kept reloading the wide receiver room. He never had a fair shot.
Right.
So I'm excited to see what he can do. Dallas Goedert, you know, he's on last year of his deal. it might be the last time he plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, we traded Zach Ertz in his prime, dude. So I wouldn't be surprised if how he does that. Because, you know, I remember when we drafted Dallas Goedert, I was kind of like, well, Zach is still like,
I was
like, Zach is still, you know, dominating out here. I don't think, but you know, how we had a vision, man. So we'll see. I'll be sad if Dallas Goedert leaves, but I won't be surprised if Howie makes a move midseason. I'm excited to see anything else. Yeah, like you said, like I'm just excited for football to be back. Jalen Hurts, you know, we're defending the crown now, man. And I'm not gonna sit here and say we're gonna repeat. I'm just taking it 1 week at a time. I do think we have a really good shot of repeating, but like we've said time and time again, man. First off, it is hard to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Let alone twice. Let alone repeat. It's hard. All right. So let's just take these 1 week at a time. You know, let's start week one off right. The game's in Philly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, man, let's come out in our home opener. Drop that banner. Let's play with like our hair's on fire, man. I'm excited. You know, I'm interested to see really with Dallas too, because I was talking to our friend Jamal about it too. I was like, you know, Micah being gone now, to me, y'all's best defensive player when healthy, DeMarion Overshow.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So, and now again, unfortunately, the key thing with him is health, right? So,
right.
But I mean, dude, like, he scared me more than Micah just because, I mean, this guy can literally play.
You meant with Micah as well?
Yeah, like, because he could literally play, he could play every position on the field except for, like, D tackle. DeMarion Overshow, bro, like, to me, like, honestly, like probably most of the time, he's probably like a top three athlete on the field, no matter what team y'all are playing.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
You know what I'm saying? So, and like that dude is just a blur and he can do everything. If he can stay healthy for y'all, the sky's the limit. You know what I'm saying? The sky's the limit. So he's on the pup list right now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He is. We all see the potential in him.
Yes.
We all see the flashes he shows when he does get to play.
Right.
He's
just a game wrecker.
He really is. He's all over the field. He's sideline to sideline. And yep. We saw it literally from he got hurt in his first round of preseason games, but when he finally stepped out on the field, it was apparent. It was, we saw it from the, like, literally from the first snap.
Yep.
So definitely hoping to see him get back on the field. And then speaking of the pup list, Trayvon Diggs, he got removed from the pup list, and it's looking like he'll be back in the lineup.
Who are they talking about is going to start opposite of him?
Right now, well,
is it Deron?
We still have Deron Bland.
Okay,
and we have Siobhan Revell.
But is he still hurt or
we have? There's a I'm trying to think who the
y'all traded for Kyir Elam.
That's who probably the Kyir Elam, Deron Bland, Trayvon Diggs. That's like depending on Diggs is if he can make it back by week one.
They gonna put Deron in the slot.
That would, if those three are the starters, that's where they'd have them and fire. I mean, definitely want to get everyone back from injury because defensively, lacking Micah Parsons as well. Because
who's going to start? It's going to be, is it Donovan? Donovan's one of the starters. Donovan E., the rookie?
Yeah, Donovan is
a Rahu. And then?
And then we have.
Is it Sam Williams?
Dante Fowler.
Oh, I did bring Donovan.
Yeah, Dante Fowler, Sam Williams. We've invested a lot of draft capital at the defensive end position.
Yeah.
So
it's time for y'all to pay off.
It's definitely this. Another thing with Sam Williams, he's definitely a guy that shown flashes,
he's been hurt too, right?
Yeah. Same thing with Overshown has just been health has been the main issue with him.
Yep.
So now that he's back healthy, hopefully he can put together a decent season and kind of obviously we don't. Yeah, I mean, these guys, we'd know it if these guys were on the level of Michael Parsons. Yeah, so they're not going to fill that gap, but, put a Band-Aid on it as much as they can. then, honestly, just offensively,
Devontae Williams, he's the number one running back, right?
Yes, he is.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, we'll be in the same position we were last season.
Yeah.
Running back.
Who's running back two right now? Is it Miles? Is it Jaden? Or
there's no definite answer. It's been everybody under the sun has kind of will be rotating it out of there. So we'll see what they can do with that. But in terms of Dak Prescott, and we have CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Jake Ferguson, Kevontae Turpin as a return man, Brandon Aubrey, Brian Engel, our special teams, Kevontae Turpin as an offensive weapon.
Right.
I have high hopes for our offense. I think that
O-line, though, because y'all had to get three new starters now, right?
No, the only new starter is Tyler Booker. Terrence Steele's back. Tyler Guyton's back. Even though, I mean, he lost his starting spot kind of for a game or two, but Tyler Guyton, he was
y'all starting center
Cooper Beebe. He was a starter left.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't think of them for a second. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
so you hold on, Tyler Guyton, is he at left tackle now still?
Yeah, he's staying in the same position. Everyone's from the transition.
He's literally right tackle, but
Coming out of college, but his whole rookie season was at left tackle.
Terrence Steele, man, I wonder when y'all are gonna pull the plug on that.
I mean, at this point he's serviceable. He's not. I wouldn't say he's a bad lineman. I think that he's our worst lineman. Obviously Tyler Booker has never played a snap, and so, but
right.
We have high hopes for him, and obviously with our main focal point of the offense hopefully being our pass game, it has to be our pass game. You would hope that the offensive line is stout, and like I said, with the defensive end, we've invested a lot of draft capital in our offensive line, so it's time for those guys to step up and really kind of, you know, solidify themselves as a really
protective unit.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that in the past, that when we've seen, like, if you go back to it's giving me kind of flashes of the 2020 season before Dak Prescott went down with his injury.
Yeah.
It was only 5 games, which obviously isn't a gigantic sample size, but it's not a game. It's not 2 games. It's enough to kind of at least look at it as like a sample size. If that makes sense. That, I mean, Dak was on pace to shatter the yards record. He was throwing for like 450 a game through those 5 games, and it was because our defense was so bad that our offense it stayed on the field, and so we had no choice but to score points. And when you look at in terms of what he's been able to do, given really good receiver rooms. Although it was, when you look back, I know a lot of people, when they look and say, oh, well, Dak, he's had great receivers before. He had Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb all at once, and he didn't do anything. Well, that trio only played 7 games together with Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Like, in those games, our offense, those were in between seasons where we had the number one offense or a top 3 offense. So. Yeah. It's not like he's incapable of doing it. He's actually shown the exact opposite. He's more than capable of leading a top offense. So
yeah.
I think that it'll be back to that. Like we have to score a lot of points if we want even a chance of a chance of winning any games this season.
Right, right. Well, I'll just say this quickly about, you know, just DeMar and Overshaw. Yeah, man, that dude stays healthy. He's a first team all pro for like the next decade. If he just stays healthy. And again, we spoke about this before, right? I don't know what it is. It's like a Dallas Cowboys curse. Like, y'all just can't draft healthy linebackers, off-ball linebackers. Like, you find the gems. They just cannot stay healthy.
We can't find any defensive guy to stay healthy right now.
Right, yeah. So, you know, obviously, like, you know, just as a human, I hope he has a healthy season. But yeah, that dude is scary. Like, he is scary. I don't like playing him. Don't like playing him. But it's funny because, you know, you're talking about like bad defenses and everything. I just want to touch on real quick. I guess really on a couple guys. Trey Henderson didn't get what he wanted, but he got a pay raise, $14 million pay raise. I don't like that because I feel like he kind of copped out. But I mean, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next season. So
yeah,
I'm so serious. If I'm Trey Henderson, I'm balling out and I'm dipping.
Yeah.
There's no more negotiation. Like, fine. Give me the $14 million pay raise for this year. I'm out. If we end on a Super Bowl, cool. I doubt it. right? But whatever, like, I'm out. I'm gonna play this year, I'm gonna ball out, then I'm out. I'm out. All right, so I'll say that. Terry McLaurin, he got paid. Shout out Scary Terry. I really thought he was gonna get traded. I thought he was gonna get traded. I thought Michael was gonna get paid, and I thought Terry was gonna get traded. So Washington, they got their number one receiver back.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. I'm happy he got paid. He deserved it. Every dime.
Definitely.
There's been a lot of, like, you know, it's the cut down week. There's been a lot of, like, cuts and everything. I can't think of anything else. Can you?
No.
No? Yeah. Well, that's a wrap on this episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And thank y'all for continuing to watch. Please like, comment, subscribe, disagree. You think Lando's wrong for saying Micah is kind of a sellout the way he left? Do you think Jerry's was in the right? Whose side are you on here if you're a Cowboys fan? Did they make the right move? Green Bay Packers fans, are y'all excited to have Micah? Are you excited for that podcast? Is it just the Micah Parsons Show? What's it called?
I never actually watched.
I haven't either. I've seen the clip.
I see clips.
You excited for the Micah Parsons Show? Micah is a cheesehead now. Are you with it? Are you not? Do you not know how to feel? Where are you at on that? Philly fans, how y'all feeling, man? Like, are y'all with me? Do y'all feel like we have a good chance to repeat? Do y'all feel like we really don't have a good chance to repeat? Where are y'all at, man? Again, we're on TikTok, on Instagram, we're on Twitter.
Yep.
We're on YouTube, obviously. Please, please like, comment, subscribe. We're coming, man. You know, season is upon us. Starting next week, y'all will get a new episode weekly.
Yep.
All right. So please stay tapped in. We appreciate any love and support we've been getting. Anything you want to add?
No, just excited for the season to start.
Yes, this football is back.
Great time upon us. We got the even college football.
Yes.
Even though I'm not a fan, like, the biggest fan I know, how, like, deep the fandom for college football starts. UT, Ohio State.
Listen.
Got the city buzzing right now.
Listen. I need a UT dub tomorrow. I'm not even a UT fan. Y'all know where I stand. I bleed blue, go blue all day. I don't care about the sanctions we just got. I don't care. I need a UT dub tomorrow. Do you understand? I've been on such a high this week. It's been a great week for me. I'm not going to lie, personally, it's been a great week for me. If Ohio State wins tomorrow, I don't know how I'm going to feel. I need a UT dub tomorrow.
I don't think they'll do it. I don't think
Will they do it is another question, but
I don't think Arch Manning. I haven't seen what.
You're not sold on him yet.
I haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe he was what everyone says he is.
You're not sold on him yet.
His last name being Manning.
Yeah. You're not sold on him. Yeah, it's fair. We'll see what he can do this year.
And I think Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, he's literally the best player in college football.
Would be a top 15 NFL receiver, right?
Jeremiah Smith, he could go to the draft right now. He's getting taken to number one.
So
I'm not even, like, I've had debates about that. I'm like, there's no way. Like,
yeah.
Jeremiah Smith, he could go first this year, next year, year after that. So unfortunately, Ohio State has the best player in college football. I obviously hate that to my core, but it is what it is. I don't know if Malik Muhammad and UT's secondary, I don't know if they can hold up. We're going to find out. I need y'all, fellas. I need y'all. Please. Please. Please.
Well,
yeah. Well, on that note, we will catch y'all next time. Peace.
Later.